Lisa, God bless you. I had not heard that song previously, and I'm not sure that I have ever heard a song as theologically strong and loaded as that song was. Brothers and sisters, I hope you gathered the message of that song. I'm so grateful that the lyrics were available for us to see this morning. And Lisa, God bless you for sharing that with us. Well, brothers and sisters, I want you to take your sermon guide for today. And if you don't have a sermon guide for today, one that looks just like this one, you need one this morning. And we want to get one to you. Brother Charles, we have a few here at the front. Anyone, if you would lift up your hand, we will make sure. Robert, we have a few here on this row. Everybody needs one this morning. And you will also notice, hopefully, that there are pens on the back of the pew in front of you. And so if you don't have a pen, you're going to need a pen this morning. And as I said to you a moment ago, this will be one of the more unique worship services that you have ever attended. Well, we are in the middle of Every Believer a Witness. We began this on the second Sunday in September, and we are continuing through the month of October. This sermon series, and in the first week, we talked about destroying apathy as it relates to sharing the gospel. And then if you were here last Sunday morning, we talked about developing know-how, and we remembered the testimony of the Apostle Paul. Do you remember that from Acts chapter 26? In Acts chapter 26, Paul told us on the pages of Scripture his life before he met Christ. And then secondly, how he met Christ. And then thirdly, his life since meeting Christ. We heard and read Paul's testimony. And what a wonderful example his testimony is for us. And then we were reminded what the Bible says about us. By the way, if you were listening closely, you heard several of those same descriptions in the song that Lisa just sang. Before we were found, we were lost. And before we could see, we were blind. And before we were righteous, we were ungodly. And before we were alive, we were dead. And before we were children of God, we were enemies of God. So do you have a testimony? Do you have a story? If you are truly a follower of Christ, the answer to that question is undoubtedly yes. You have a testimony. But brothers and sisters, there's a problem. And here is the problem. We come to faith in Christ. And for you, whatever that age was, maybe it was 6, maybe it was 16, maybe it was 46. But every additional day we live, we get further and further away from that experience. And we are prone. I am prone to lose, if I may borrow, I believe a song title, we lose the wonder of it all. Each and every day that we get further away from that experience. And so today, we want to go back. We want to go back to that moment. That moment when you met Jesus. If you have that sermon guide, would you turn to page 2? And would you look at the top of page 2 as we think about your personal story? And specifically, as we begin this morning, thinking about Paul's example in Acts 26, my life before I met Jesus. My life before I met Jesus. Now I want you to think about, what was your life like before you met Jesus? I want you to think about your family. Think about your mom. Think about your dad. Think about your grandparents. Think about your interests. Think about your school, your sports, your band, your music. Think about your college. Think about your career. Now notice everything that I've said to you thus far in thinking about your life before you met Jesus. Notice that I have said nothing spiritual. Nothing spiritual, nothing church, nothing religious, simply life stuff. Now, as I said a moment ago, depending on when you met Jesus, if you met Jesus when you were 6 compared to when you were 16 compared to when you were 46, what you remember might be vastly different than the person sitting next to you or the person in front of you or the person behind you. But you're thinking specifically about you. Your life before you met Jesus. If I may, let me read the portion of my testimony before I met Jesus. Not perfect, but simply an example. I grew up in Alvarado, Texas. This is about 25 miles south of Fort Worth at the intersection of I-35 and Highway 67. If my wife were telling this story, she would say it's a suburb of Cleburne. That's not exactly true. In Johnson County, my mom and dad were divorced when I was 5 years old. And I lived with my mom and stepdad and eventually my half-sister. When I was about 10 years old, I began to realize that something was missing in my life. I felt a sense of emptiness in my heart, like there was a hole in my heart. And I also began to wonder what would happen to me if I died. I didn't know where I would go. Generally speaking, I was a good kid. I wasn't into drugs or alcohol or stealing or anything like that. However, I did lie to my mom regularly. And I didn't always mind her and my stepdad. And I had a really bad attitude specifically toward him and his authority in our home. So what about you? What about your family your school, your age, your extracurricular activities, not spiritual stuff, not church stuff, but life stuff before you met Jesus. Now here comes the really unique portion of today's service. I'm going to give you 4 minutes right now with your sermon guide and with your pen, and I want you to write down on your sermon guide your testimony as it relates to your life before you met Jesus. Now, let me just say, because some of you are looking at me kind of funny, I can't force you to do this, but I believe with all my heart that you're here today because God wanted you to be here. And God knew before you knew what we were going to do this morning. And God brought you here. So I'm going to invite you in just a minute when I give the go that you take part in this experience. So there's going to be some music playing in the background. I'm not going to be talking. Hopefully you're going to be writing about your life before you met Jesus. Go. Thank you. All right. Hopefully you've had the opportunity to participate and do exactly what I have asked this morning. We'll turn to page 3. And let's talk about that second part of your personal story. And at the top of page 3, letter B, how I came to accept Jesus into my life. Now, when you think about your testimony, all across the room, everyone is going to have a different story. But there has to be, brothers and sisters, there has to be one commonality that links all of them together. And that commonality is the gospel. Belief and trust in Jesus Christ. Here's how Jesus said it in John chapter 3 and verse 3. I want you to read this aloud with me. Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, you probably know the context of that verse. Jesus was having a conversation with Nicodemus. And just a few verses from verse 3, we find verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that anyone who would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life." So even though our testimonies are different and vastly different all across the room, that one commonality, that one link must be the gospel. So I'm going to invite you, think about, when did that happen? When did it happen that you met Jesus? When Jesus came into your life? When you accepted him into your life? When? Where? Who was involved, if anyone? I want you to encourage you to use your own words. Use your own vernacular. Use common words. But you have to include the gospel. And you say, "Well, Brother Richard, how do I do that?" Well, without memorizing a lot of scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 really lays it out for us. This is verses 1 through 4 of 1 Corinthians 15. Read this with me aloud. "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preach to you, which you receive, in which you stand. For I delivered you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures." So Christ died. He was buried. But he didn't stay buried. He was raised on the third day. That's the gospel, brothers and sisters. Now please understand, as we think about how you came to accept Jesus, please understand that there is nothing magical about your testimony. There's nothing magical about my story. It is simply a vehicle or a tool that we use to share the gospel. Listen to this next verse, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Since we've been doing this previously, please read it aloud with me. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation of everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So there is power in the gospel. And so we have to make sure that in our testimony, we have the gospel. So listen to what Ira said. Because my mom took me to church when I was a kid, when I had questions about death and dying, I asked her. Like many of you have done with me, she set up an appointment with her pastor to come to our house and talk with me. I was in the fourth grade, Ellie, just like you. I was in the fourth grade. It was a Tuesday afternoon after school. And I can't remember if I walked home from school that day or rode my bike, but I was at my house watching the Dukes of Hazzard when Brother Doug came by. My mom wasn't home yet, but we waited until she came home to talk more about my fears and questions. Brother Doug told me that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and was raised from the dead to confirm everything he did and said. Brother Doug then told me that if I received Jesus into my life and my heart by praying, that he would save me from my sins and reserve a home in heaven for me. Therefore, if I died, I would go to heaven rather than hell because I had asked Jesus to come into my life. So we prayed together. Brother Doug led, and I repeated what he prayed. That's my testimony. That's how I came to accept Jesus into my life. So what about you? Again, I'm going to give you 4 minutes. And there on page 3, I want you to put down on paper how you came to accept Jesus into your life. Go. Right. Even if you're still writing, I'm going to invite you to join me in moving to page 4, the third part of our story. My life since Jesus came in. My life since Jesus came in. Now, the Bible tells us that when a person is saved, not when a person joins the church, not when a person even necessarily is baptized, but when a person is saved, that he or she experiences life change. So think about that. Maybe there was an immediate change in your life because you met Jesus. Or maybe your change was more gradual. But let me give you some examples. Maybe before you met Christ, you were immoral. But because you met Christ, you began living morally. Maybe you were anxious and worried, but when you were saved, you had assurance. Maybe if you're a youth, maybe you were self-centered and selfish, but since you met Christ, you've been more concerned with others. Or maybe if you were a child, like I was, maybe you lied to mom and dad, or maybe you used to hit brother and sister, but once you met Jesus, you didn't lie anymore, and you didn't hit brother and sister as much. Some of you may want to share about a challenging or a painful experience that you have gone through since you trusted Christ and what God's faithfulness had meant to you. I want you to listen to this verse from Acts 26. We read it last week, but the Apostle Paul speaks of God's faithfulness to him. I think it'll be on the screen behind me. To this day, I've had the help that comes from God. And so I stand here testifying, both to small and great, saying nothing but what the prophets and Moses said would come to pass. Paul spoke of God's faithfulness in his life. Here's what I said. Because I prayed that day with Brother Doug, Jesus came into my life and saved me from my sins. Since that day, I know that I will go to heaven when I die. My feelings of worry have been replaced with peace. My feelings of doubt have been replaced with confidence. My feelings of emptiness have been replaced with purpose because Jesus saved me by coming into my life and my heart. And so now, for this third part, I'm going to give you 4 minutes to speak about your life since Jesus came in. Go. I think that I have delivered this morning in telling you that this is going to be one of the most unique worship services that you have ever experienced. But now for the cherry on top. I would like to have one or two volunteers to stand and simply read what you wrote. Don't ad lib, but simply read what you wrote. And hold on just a minute, ladies. Preferably from someone who has never spoken in church before. Never spoken in church before, Jana?
No. You're going to hold it?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm shy.
Simply read what you wrote.
I grew up in Houston, Texas with my mom, dad, sister, and brother. I played in the bugle and drum corps in high school, and I went to TJC, HBU, and completed my education in commerce, which became A&M Commerce. Whoop. And I got a master's in education and a master's in reading, and my undergrad was education. And when I was in Houston going to school, I met Jamie, and we got married and we moved around. And I lived in Houston, went to school with my parents, and believe it or not, I got in trouble for talking too much and being tardy in class. And I recognized that life was better being involved in church because my parents had us going from the beginning, so I was very grateful for that. And I knew that I needed to be different because I was a sinner. And I was 12 years old when I asked the Lord into my heart, because each time, three Sundays in a row, I could feel the butterflies in my stomach and a pulling, and the Lord was saying, this is it. You either come now or I'm done. So I went and to the front, confessed that I was a sinner, and to Jesus as my Lord of my life, and started to follow him, and I made a change in my life, and I noticed that others were going in a different path, and I didn't want to be that way. So I felt joy and peace immediately, and I knew that God was on my side, and I was thankful for my family for keeping me there, getting me on that path. And just so much joy and peace goes over you, and my trust is now in Jesus, and I learned to have a daily relationship with him, praying and Bible study, and being involved in church. And the most traumatic thing that happened to me was, there's so many, but my mom died at the age of 59 from cancer. But her witness through the whole thing was what got me, because she said, don't worry, God's got me. And so I could see that God took care of me no matter what. And it's just reaffirmed that I know that when I die, I'm going to go to heaven because he's got me every day.
Amen. Thank you, Jana. God bless you. Someone else. Never spoken in church before. Remind me of your name.
I'm Landon.
Landon. All right. It is. Just simply read what you wrote. Not anything more, not anything less.
Okay. I grew up in North Carolina with both my mom and my dad and my older sister.
Read what you wrote.
My bad. My parents got divorced when I was about 8 years old. Didn't really play sports. I was okay at school. Then lived with my mom, my stepdad, and my older sister. I was a pretty good kid. Didn't really get into trouble. I sometimes went to church, and I sort of knew about God, but I never really paid that much attention to it. And sorry about that. I'd say I was in middle school, living in Sulphur Springs, Texas, and I sort of just, started wondering about life and death. And so one day at youth group, I talked to the youth pastor, and he told me how Jesus died for our sins, and how if we accept him in our lives, we go to heaven when we die. And then I didn't really write anything on since because, like, I don't know. I feel like the same way, if that makes any sense. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Thank you. I'm grateful and thankful for both Landon and for Jana sharing this morning. And just so you'll know, I've never met Landon before this morning. And so none of that was prearranged, but I can assure you I have been praying all week long that somebody, preferably two folks, would have the courage and conviction enough to stand, because I did not want to stand here before you guys for seconds that turned into minutes that turned into longer waiting for someone to stand. Well, what now? Turn to page 5. Again, Jana and Landon, thank you. Based on what you have just seen in God's Word, what should you do today? Read this with me, James chapter 1, verse 22. Be doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to invite you this morning to make a commitment this next week. To make a commitment to share your story with two people before next Sunday. Make a commitment inviting you to share your story with two people before next Sunday. Now, again, please understand what I'm asking. I'm not asking you to ad lib. I'm simply asking you to read what you have written. And here's the way you can go about that. You can go up, let's say for an example, we have some teenagers right here, we have some teenagers over here. You go up to someone before school, at lunch, after school, in the locker room, in the band hall, whatever the case may be, and say, hey, my pastor wants me to do something. Would you do a favor for me? Can I just simply read my testimony to you? And you just read what you wrote, your life before you met Jesus, since you met Jesus, or how you met Jesus, and then since you met Jesus. And when you finish, you know what you say? Thank you, and you're done. That's all I'm asking. Adults, maybe it's with a coworker. Maybe it's with a spouse. Maybe it's with an adult child. You just simply do the same. Hey, Brother Richard wants us to do this before next Sunday. Would you do a favor for me? Would you let me read my testimony to you? Again, that's all you do. Your life before Christ, how you met Christ, your life since you met Christ. And then you say, thank you. Now let me give you one last example. If you're a grandparent, would you raise your hand? A lot of grandparents here this morning. Let me ask you something, grandparents. Now some of this won't apply because of the age of your grandchildren being very young. But have your grandchildren ever heard how you met Jesus? What a wonderful opportunity for you to take and simply read for them your testimony. If you'd be willing to do that, I'm going to invite you, not for me, not for your neighbor, but between you and the Lord, there at the bottom of page 5, write your name and your date that you're committing to sharing your story with two people before next Sunday. Now, we're almost done. But I need to say this. Some of you are here this morning, and you have come face to face with the reality that you don't have a testimony. You don't have a testimony because you've never been born again. Now, I'm not talking about writing something down on a piece of paper. I'm talking about you don't have a time when you have met Jesus. Well, today I want to invite you to be saved. I want to invite you to put your faith and trust in Christ for the very first time. And in just a moment, after I finish praying, I'm going to be standing here at the front. We're going to be singing and standing all across the auditorium. And today, if you know that you're not saved because you've never met Jesus, and therefore you don't have a testimony, but today you would answer that call to faith in Christ, I'm going to invite you to step out of one of these aisles, come here to the front. Let me celebrate with you. Let me lead you in praying maybe a similar prayer that Brother Doug prayed with me when I was a little boy. Nothing magical about a prayer, but as long as the intent of your heart is wanting to be surrendered unto Christ, that's what matters. Brothers and sisters, you have a testimony if you know Christ. If you don't have a testimony, today I would invite you to be saved. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'm going to be praying. Then after I finish praying, we're going to be standing and singing, again, a very familiar song. And if today you would answer that call that Christ has put on your heart and on your life to be saved, if you would answer that call to salvation, recognizing that you don't have a testimony because you've never met Jesus, I invite you to be saved today. I invite you to trust Christ today. And again, I'll be here at the front. Love to welcome you. Maybe you're a guest here today, and you and your family have been visiting Emory Baptist Church, and you want to be a part of a congregation. God is leading you and your family to be a part of a congregation that takes witnessing seriously. And we understand our role in God's plan of sharing the gospel. If you know Christ and you've been baptized by immersion and after salvation, we'd love to welcome you today. We'll take care of the details of transferring your church membership. Maybe you just simply need to be praying during this time of invitation for courage and boldness to share your testimony with two people this next week. Family member, co-worker, classmate, teammate. I pray that you will. Father in heaven, thank you and praise you and bless you for how good you are to us. Thank you, Father, that we have heard today testimonies of the faithfulness of God. Father, we give this invitation to you. Trust that you've already been at work in our midst. And we ask for you to continue. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? As Brother Chris comes to lead us, would you come today, responding to my invitation on the very first stanza?